Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I have been forgetting to talk to you about this for months now.
Right.
So when, because you announced, how many weeks ago now? Six?
Oh, it would have been start of May, I think. Yeah.
You got to announce the incredible news that you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
We were so excited. You told me probably a month or two before everyone else got to find out. So I felt
Special. I was feeling pretty garbage and it was hard to hide from you. We're trapped in a room together 3 hours every day.
So I have been, and then I was like, well, I can't bring this up with you now. And I can't talk about it on the show now because no one else knows.
Sure.
And then when you announced it properly, it was so exciting. I was in the giddy little haze. Forgot about this. It's time for return serve. So what was the one consistent thing that happened during my wife's pregnancy on the show when you were referring to my unborn son, when he didn't have a name?
I gave him a beautiful name that I'm devastated you didn't fully commit to.
It was a placeholder name.
I called your son Hugo.
Which is fine.
Great name.
In most aspects, except for this specific one, because what was it short for?
It was short for Yugoslavia. Yeah. Yugoslavia bulge.
The amount of people on the street that came up to me and my then pregnant wife.
And still do.
And talk about, oh, this is a little Hugo, a little Slavy.
Slavy.
And I have been like patiently waiting. I was like,
do you know what? There were people in the office and probably people listening right now that thought that was real. Like, I remember vividly having conversations when you went on your paternity leave with people being like, so, like, has Yugoslavia arrived?
I don't even know how you came up with it. It was like something you just said. You just committed to it. I've had one ready to go, and because I've like this, it's like picking a baby name for me. But it's your unborn child. This placeholder name.
It's so helpful that we know it's a boy,
so we can refer to your baby, your unborn baby, on the air over the next 20 weeks.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not sold on it. 5223295 If anyone wants to, like, if they've got an idea,
chime in. Yeah.
Now, important context, because was there any context to why you chose to make a joke of Yugoslavia?
Like, no, formally? I think I genuinely liked the name Hugo. I thought Hugo Bolch sounded like a strong name.
Right.
But then when someone asked me why Hugo, I was like, well, it's short for Yugoslavia.
Yeah. So but there was no connection context to, like, the former Yugoslavia for me, right? So mine has a bit of context. You are Macedonian.
Yes.
So I was looking at famous Macedonian, like, people from history.
Yeah, well, my dad currently calls our baby Genghis Alexander because...
You can't say that. Take it back. I'm dumping it. Everyone pretend like that didn't happen.
Like Alexander the Great.
Yes. And don't talk about the other person. Sorry. Stop it. He shall not be named. Okay.
Shit. I don't think either of them were good blokes.
Stop, please, please. Whatever you do, stop. Can't lose my job. Little Hugo's just about to start school. Just stop, please. I've set it on something.
Okay.
Baby Vanga. I came up with this.
Like Baba Vanga.
Maybe 2 days after you told me you were pregnant.
I kind of like it.
Little Baby V. Little Vanga.
Little Vanga.
The Vanga bus is coming.
It sure is.
So how do you feel about it? Because Baba Vanga is the famous Macedonian who predicted, like, a whole bunch of things. And people still bring it up today. They'll be like, oh, yeah, Baba Vanga said that, you know, the Brisbane Lions were going to win the 2024 AFL Grand Final.
I mean, her predictions were like, a cold breeze will come past in 2032.
Yeah, Brisbane won the Grand Final. We're saying the same thing. So I'm liking Baby Vanga. And the best thing is, you don't get a say. Because I didn't. And the last time you said something, you said GK. Talked about the Khan. We don't talk about him.
I didn't say he was a good guy.
Yeah, but just don't mention it. This is why this is the whole, and if you haven't seen Harry Potter, this is the whole thing. Don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Just don't say the name. So I'm going to go with Baby Vanga.
Nice.
So we'll forget it immediately.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a terrible person like you who just refuses to, you know, give me a bit of peace and damn quiet.
You know what, though? I have not called your son Yugoslavia Bulch, not once.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for not... You did call him Donald Trump, but that's totally offensive for other reasons.
It's only because his hair looks like Donald
Trump. No, it's... Keep going. When your son's murdered, I call him Donald Trump. You're going to feel it.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, I love a bit of ChatGPT. I love to use it for lots of things in my life.
Well, I've had to come to terms with it because it's part of you now. Like,
yep.
I mourn my old friend Jess.
And you could think for herself.
Yeah, your ideas and your contributions. And, oh, what a time we had. But no more. Yes. I see you scurrying on your computer and I assume you're doing work, but no, you're asking it to have a thought.
I saw an amazing video today of people using ChatGPT for something incredible that I never thought of before. And this is the great part of AI. Like, people are using it for new and different ways every single day.
Yeah.
But did you know that ChatGPT could do palm readings?
This way you asked to take a photo of my hand.
Yes, it is.
I thought you were going to do some stupid thing on Instagram, like, look how small Tim's hands are. Because they are. They are very
they
small.
They are, yes.
Is that what AI said? This man has very... This little girl has quite small hands.
No, it read your different lines on your hands
right.
And put together a little summary about you. And then I did it for myself as well. Okay. Do you want to hear them and see?
Yep. And I guess if this is, like, successful,
yeah,
people listening, they could do this for themselves.
Absolutely. Do we have, like, something mystical music?
Give a brother some heads up. No, I don't have mystical music.
You always have mystical music ready to go.
I'm not Shauna Paul just doing songs and DJs on request. I ain't got nothing for you.
Okay. Well, I'll just tell you what it said then.
Unbelievable.
Your friend Tim is a vibrant thinker with a curious, agile mind and a strong sense of independence. Do you think all that's true?
Oh, sure. It's all interpreted, right, though?
He is imaginative, thoughtful, and often lost in ideas or deep inner reflection.
Yeah, I guess.
You're a thinker?
I think so.
He's emotionally generous, but selective with his vulnerability. He doesn't rush into connections. Mm. He values authenticity over surface level charm. Life for him is more about growth and exploration than following a fixed path. He adapts easily, questions deeply, and brings a fresh perspective wherever he goes.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In the 9 years we've worked together, how has it taken AI to say the most thoughtful thing to me on this show? You've had a 9 years head start. And AI, genuinely, normally I look at like this hoopla stuff and I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really just
that's
like...
It's quite nice, isn't
yeah,
it?
I think
that describes you down to a T.
Yeah. Now, this is the thing. I'm going to be hypercritical of how it describes you. Because if it's not like, well, this snot rocket's loud and proud and she loves her.
Like, I think you're going to really like what it said about me.
What do we got?
Jessica, you are a deeply grounded and dependable person. Someone others naturally turn to for support and steadiness.
They can't be perfect, can they? They can't be perfect.
You approach relationships with emotional honesty and a steady warmth that makes people feel safe and seen. Practical and thoughtful.
You're thoughtful. I'll give it that. Everything else so far has been a red hot light.
You tend to think things through with clarity and reason, preferring to move forward with purpose rather than impulse.
Such a strong hit in the first instance. It's such a, like, you've got to admit, even how you're reacting now, would you agree with, besides it saying you're a thoughtful person, which I do agree with, really just a whole bunch of misses there.
I think this next slide's going to really send you over the edge. Your lifeline suggests inner strength and quiet resilience. You don't need to be shout to be heard.
All right, well, AI, we tried. Clearly, something's
not
working still.
It's
not working. Try it again. Send it back to the engineers.
I might take another photo of my hand.
We're like, this dog's actually quite the barker.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
I think we can all get a little bit carried away with, like, you know, our dreams and our wants of how we envision our life, right?
Sure.
And I go through phases of this, like, dream. And I go, if I had that, oh, man, if I just had that. Like, literally, life would be complete.
Is this your acreage hobby farm?
So I've been watching Clarkson's Farm again.
Oh, Tim. Why do you hurt yourself like this?
So I watched the first two seasons, was obsessed.
Yeah.
Because it was an idiot with 1,000 acres. And I was like, uh-oh, one of those boxes is ticked. All I need is 1,000 acres.
Yeah.
And my wife and I got really into it. Didn't realize. Like, you know how you go, oh, I love that show. And then you just don't pay attention And then you go, hang on, there's two more seasons out. So we spent the last couple of days watching the third season. The fourth is on the cards.
Hasn't he started like a restaurant now?
Yeah, there's like a shop, a restaurant. There's all these different things. But he's got other incomes. Like, so
he
Jeremy
can
Clarkson,
drop like a load of money onto
like
that.
Like he still does work for newspapers, for television, all these things. Apparently his mum invented Paddington Bear. Not what I want to talk about. So, been watching it and I go, okay, 1,000 acres. I don't want 1,000 acres. That sounds terrifying to look after. That's like the size of Teasdale. It's too much.
I don't like looking after my back lawn. So
I know. Imagine 1,000 acres, but it's all concrete.
No, thanks.
Your dream. And yeah, I don't think I'm like 4 acres.
You'd go for four.
Four would be a dream.
What about three?
Yeah, we can make work.
Yeah.
Two's the minimum.
Sure.
Just want 2 acres. A couple of animals.
For free, please.
Oh, this is the thing. Yeah. Why is 4 acres so expensive?
It's because you want it like right next to Torquay. Like
no, I will go out.
Yeah.
As they sing, go west. I will go west, baby girl. I will go out to the middle of nowhere. As long as it's within an hour and a half of work, I'll go.
Easy.
I'll go. We almost rented a farm place and then it just didn't work out. I just like, why does my brain go, if we had a farm,
everything
would be...
What animals would you get? Because like the more animals you have, the more of a like a full-time commitment it becomes.
Lucky, as a radio announcer, I got time.
Okay.
Goats for show, sheep for show, pigs for show, donkeys. Donkey.
Just a single donkey?
Single donkey. They're actually quite like reasonable to have.
Right.
Quite respectful. I wouldn't be like planting anything. Actually, you know what I would do? I would load up on bees and we would just honey. We'd be honey farmers.
Right.
And we would go absolutely wild in the family and I would get stung 30 times a day and I would become
Well, you need to get a bee suit.
No, I reckon I could get around
oh,
it.
Oh, just,
I stood on a bee this year and I found out I'm not allergic. So that was a huge win for the family.
Nice.
So yeah, now when there's bees flying around, I'm going up, I'm scoring up, going, oh, you want to sting?
I don't know how your wife would feel since she got stung in the neck by a bee.
It got swollen, but she was not allergic. So we have two out of three.
Good.
We need to find out if our son's allergic. Bit more of a riskier game. But yeah, it's like, I don't think I'm asking for a lot when I just want to like have a farm. You know?
Right.
And currently as a renter, nowhere near buying just a house.
Mm.
Oof. There's a bit of a gap.
I mean, I feel like, have you got, how much money have you got? Like, have you got $5 to put in?
How dare you ask that out loud? I wouldn't even tell you in private, let alone on a radio show.
I'm just thinking, like, what is feasible for you? Like, like an acre?
What do you mean? No, that's still too expensive.
Still?
You know how big an acre is. It's huge.
I don't know that I confidently know how big an acre is.
I agree with you on that. But I think a lot of people think like this. They want their hobby farm. And I think I would absolutely crush a hobby farm. Just getting to the point where it's owning it and then having money to run it is my hurdle. So
right.
It's a big hurdle. It's like a Westgate Bridge sized hurdle. And I am
Have you
ground
considered
level.
Just getting more money?
Oh. I feel like such a klutz.
Right?
You're kidding me. It's that simple?
It's that easy.
I'll jump right on that, boss.
Yeah.
All right. Well, off to make that old money tree grow.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, I'm thinking about buying an exercise ball.
Okay. Thinking about it.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't know.
Considering.
Right.
Considering making the large purchase.
It is a big investment. Like, you know, have you done your research? Have you gone around and tried and tested at different exercise ball dealers?
It's not an investment, like a big investment money wise. Like, they're not that expensive. But
air's free if you think about it, too.
It's a big commitment.
Oh, right. Sorry, I'm going to respect you while you talk about that you've thought about buying an exercise ball. Because just before you go on to what you were talking about, I personally didn't realize you had to think about it. I thought you would just go, I'm getting one, and now I have it.
Right.
That's my line to an exercise ball.
I've been considering it for a while now. Been trialing out the one at the gym.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, the trial. Sorry. I don't know if I can look at you. Keep speaking.
Well, basically, like, with my pregnancy, I'm 21 weeks today. I've been trying to, like, find gentle ways to, like, do stretches and that aren't super uncomfortable because it's starting to get really uncomfortable to do everything. And at the gym, I've been really enjoying using the exercise ball, but I'm like, I love it at the gym because I can put it away at the gym and then I don't have to take it home.
It is quite a sized
thing. Yes. And I don't have a great big house. Like this ball, that's why it's a commitment. It's like, where do I put the thing when I'm not using it?
Gosh.
Because like for the 10 minutes every day that I use it.
Yeah, that must be tough.
Okay.
I'm feeling for you, my guy. Okay.
Have you got one?
Nah.
Because I used to have one in the office. Do you remember when I swapped out my work chair for the exercise ball for like a week?
I banned you.
You banned me because I was bouncing on it constantly. Yeah,
that's not good for you. To just continuously bounce. And it was an annoyance. Because like you don't do anything quietly. It's just like, right. Ka-doink, ka-doink, ka-doink.
It was squeaking.
And then like instead of just getting up to go over to like the other side of the room to get something, it would take you 6 minutes to bounce your way there. And then bounce your way back. And I was like, oh my God, I'm working with a seal doing tricks, but it's like the training's not going well.
So what I'm hearing is I shouldn't get one for here instead.
Don't bring one to work.
Because I was considering, instead of having it at home, just having it in the office.
Absolutely not. You broke the ergonomic chair.
The ergonomic chair broke on me, okay?
Because you weren't sitting on it right. And the worst thing was, I wanted one. You broke the one that we had. And you were like, oh, well, I'll just get an old chair back anyway. Now we have a broken ergonomic chair.
I miss having a back, okay? I love the back support.
You're meant to tuck your knees in and Jess would just sit on it like a cowboy getting ready to jump on a bull at a rodeo. Just like, am I ready to go now? So I don't know if you can be trusted with a work exercise ball here.
Fair enough.
At home, you've got space. Girl, you got a 3-bedder.
What, I'm going to have an exercise ball room?
Yeah. Well, not a room. Put it... I don't know if your husband's not doing too much in his office. Like, surely there's a bit of space.
Oh, he
there.
Won't allow me in there. It's not
oh,
my...
It's a red flag. Can I just put that up for a second?
That's the one room that that's his domain. And
and you got the rest of the house.
Yes.
All right, that's fair. Red flag. Sorry, another red flag. Two red flags. I think you're overthinking it.
Okay, fair enough. No, fair enough.
Get it. Put the air out of it. Get a pump. Sorry, more than one step. You're right. I heard it as I was saying it.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Commitment. You know I'm afraid of commitment.
And exercise balls.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.